Okay, so today I will continue the four foundations of mindfulness. And we have mentioned there are four. There are four objects that can help us to establish mindfulness. What are the four? Contemplation on body, feelings, mind, different mental states, and the Dhamma. Okay, and today we'll continue to see what Buddha taught. Okay, and Buddha said, here bhikkhus, a bhikkhu lives contemplating the body in the body. Ardent, ardent, clear, comprehending, and mindful. Putting aside greed and grief with reference to the world, and he lives contemplating the feelings in the feelings. He lives contemplating consciousness or mind, in consciousness. He lives contemplating mental objects of Dhamma. In mental objects or Dhamma, ardent, clearly comprehending, and mindful, putting aside greed and grief with reference to the world. So from this statement, Buddha said, contemplating the body in the body. This is very important statement. Why Buddha say contemplating the body in the body? Why Buddha mention two times body in the body? Feeling, contemplating feelings in the feelings. Contemplating mind in the mind. Contemplating Dhamma in the Dhamma. So why Buddha mention twice body in the body, feeling in the feeling, and so on? Yeah, very good. Because if Buddha didn't mention that contemplating the body in the body, then we will assume the body is mind. Then we contemplate the body as mind, feeling as mind, mind, mental state, citta, consciousness as mind, then Dhamma as mind. So in order to help the listener to get rid of perception of self, perception of self, mind, myself. So Buddha emphasized contemplating the body in the body, not the body in myself, not the body in mind, M-I-N-E, not the body as myself, and so on. So from very beginning, Buddha already tells us how to contemplate. Body as body, mind as mind only. Mind is not myself. Feeling in the feeling. Feeling is not myself. So from very beginning, if you want to practice four foundations of mindfulness, you must understand this statement well. So that the way you contemplate is accordant with the Dhamma to get it off perception of self. Okay. Secondly, Buddha said, so when you contemplate the body in the body, then you must ardent. Ardent means continuous effort. There are four prerequisites you must possess before you can succeed in your practice. Number one, Buddha said, ardent. Ardent in Pali we call atapi. Atapi means fire. The effort like burning fire. Not cooling effort, but the effort like burning fire, we call atapi. Another way of explanation is continuous effort. When practice, you must have continuous effort. How to have continuous effort? If, let's say, during sitting, we put continuous effort, but after sitting, after getting up from the cushion, we do not continue. I mentioned yesterday, if you want to get spark from two stones, you have to keep on rubbing. Otherwise, the heat cool down. So this is called continuous effort. So when you're getting, when you come up from the cushion, go back to your focus again, whether it's anapana or four element or any bodily activities. And similarly, when you walk one place to another place or in, or when you are in your sleeping quarter, also you must keep your mindfulness on your object. This is called continuous effort. Let us see how during Buddha's time, how the bhikkhu practiced meditation with continuous effort. They call atapi. Atapi, ardent. When they go for pintapatta, usually during Buddha's time, even nowadays in Burma, all the monks will go pintapatta in the morning. So to prevent talking on the way, sometimes people greet you, the devotees who are offering food, they will talk to you. So to prevent talking, they keep a mouthful of water in the mouth. So when there's water in the mouth, we cannot talk, right? If we talk, the water will spit up or come out. So they keep the water in the mouth. So anybody ask them, they cannot talk. You can try it, okay? you also can try in this center. So people understand, you don't want to talk. Then people will respect your practice, okay? So all the monks keep the water in the mouth. This is to show that they want to practice continuously. They don't want to be disturbed by any frivolous talk or any unimportant talk during their intensive meditation. So this is one way of you can apply continuous effort. And another monk, some other monks, when they go pindapat, when they start walking, then they keep the mindfulness maybe on the metta, on the four elements, on anapana. It depends on what type of meditation they focus on. And so usually they go with a group, maybe 10%, 20%, or 5. So when the first person keeping the mindfulness, let's say on the breath, then after a few steps, then the mind think of something else. Think of woman, think of other things, how to get good food and so on. Then there's a restless mind. The moment the monk knows the mind is obsessed by restlessness, if they keep on walking, then the restless mind cannot stop. So they stand still. When they stand still, the following monk cannot move also, right? The in front person stands still, so the following monk also have to stand still. So until the first monk overcome the restlessness, then he will continue. And after a few steps again, the mind is obsessed with the thought of sensual pleasures, then it has to stand again. Then the following monk also have to stand again. So again and again, he walk and stand until he feels so shameful of himself, right? Because you always stand and we follow, the follower cannot walk. So the first monk feels very shameful of himself. Then he arouses the continuous effort, we call atapi. The effort can burn all the defilements, the effort can burn all the sensual thoughts, all the thoughts of ill will and so on. Then he starts to move very smoothly without stopping here and there. Because the following monk all know what's happening in your mind. If not, why you stand? After you succeed, then next day another person lead the club. So everybody has to arouse the continuous effort, we call atapi, in order to succeed in the meditation. So this is called the first prerequisite. If you want to practice for foundation of mindfulness, you must have this type of effort, we call atapi. And during Buddha's time, there was a group of monks. They make agreement to stay in the forest and practice together, but keeping silent. Otherwise, if you go with a group, then you the mind will incline to talking. So they must sign agreement. Sign agreement first. We are not going to meet with each other. We are not going to see each other. We are not going to talk with each other. Unless that's uposatha. We have all of us have to come gather together and recite the Patimokkha. Otherwise, we are not going to see each other. Okay. That's how they show their keenness in the practice. So when full moon day comes, then the monk gather together, then they find the missing one. They say 10 monks, now only 9 come, one is missing. And they don't know what is happening. Now another new moon comes, now another monk missing, only 8 left. Then they start to puzzle, what's wrong with the other monk. Then finally, another new moon, full moon, then also one missing. So finally they find out the missing monk have been eaten by tiger. Therefore they cannot present themselves in the Patimokkha and the gathering of reciting the precepts. Then they start to discuss. Then they start their discussion. What to do? If the tiger comes, are we continue to keep silent, or we should we shout and ask for help? Because they already signed agreement, cannot talk. So when tiger eat them, they also keep silent, no talking. Therefore, I say, when the time to talk, you got to talk. Use your wisdom, okay? So they start to discuss, and they come to conclusion that when they see tiger, they should shout, break the silence, shout, and ask for help. Otherwise, all 10 monks will be eaten by tiger, right? So one day, a monk also, a tiger came and bite one monk. And this monk start to shout, "Oh, tiger coming, help, help, help." And all the monk quickly came up, taking the stick. All the stick, wooden stick, want to chase after the tiger. If a group, then tiger also get frightened. If one person, tiger will tackle you. But the tiger has the speed. So he take away the monk, and the rest of monk cannot help this victim. And the rest of monk shouted to this victim, say that, "Arouse your effort. Arouse your effort. Now no one can help you. Only your effort." So the monk said, the monk understand. So when the tiger bite him, then he contemplates unpleasant feeling is not myself, unpleasant feeling is impermanent, not myself. Keep on contemplating until while tiger is eating him, he attained arahantship. So he succeeds with continuous effort. They call atapi. So your pain is not so strong as like being bitten by tiger, right? So please contemplate the pain, unpleasant feeling, it's not myself, impermanent, not myself. And reflect the story of this monk being eaten by the tiger. Compared with his pain, my pain is nothing. Okay, so that you can arouse your continuous effort to deal with the unpleasant feeling. This is called ardent atapi. This first prerequisite you should possess. Okay, the second requisite is clear comprehension. But before I go to clear comprehension, when I say about effort, we also have to balance the effort. If we put too much effort let's say when you're practicing Anapanasati, if you put too much effort, then the head tense up, the nose become hard, the face becomes stiff. That is also not correct. It's called overshooting the target. Then when you, the moment you feel there's a tension on your head, tension on the nose, then you should know. You should take action to reduce little bit effort. How to reduce? Don't make the breath so clear. Just know enough. You don't have to see the breath so precisely. Not necessary. Just be aware of the breath and keep the mindfulness a little bit in front, not too close to the nostril. Don't put the attention on the skin. Far away, a little bit far away from the skin, under the nostril. Then gradually you can reduce a little bit the effort. So balancing the effort is also very important. Okay? Just like playing a lute. The string is too tight, then the string will break. If the string is too loose, then no sound can be produced. Therefore, keep on balance the effort. Using mindfulness to know whether the effort is excessive or deficiency. Okay, the second prerequisite that you should process is clear comprehending. Clear comprehension, there are four clear comprehension. What are the four? Number one, clear comprehension of benefit. Number two, clear comprehension of stability. Suitable. Number three, clear comprehension of domain. Number four, clear comprehension of non-delusion. I will explain to you one by one. Okay, first, Buddha said, you must have ardent or continuous effort, but only effort not enough. Secondly, you must have clear comprehension. Sati sampajana. Sati sampajana. First is clear comprehension of benefit. So you should, whatever action you want to take, for example, you want to talk, then you should contemplate, is it beneficial or not? If not beneficial, then I'm not going to talk. So you must have this type of clear comprehension, not following what your mind wants. If your mind wants to talk, then you talk. This is without clear comprehension of benefit. So whatever action you want to take, let's say you want to eat a lot, but you think first, is it beneficial that I take so much food, that too much food, overeating will cause slow and torpor to me. So you think of benefit. Whatever action you do, please think of whether it's beneficial for you or not. This is called clear comprehension of benefit. Second, clear comprehension of suitability. When you first contemplate of benefit, then you also must contemplate suitability. For example, talking, maybe I want to ask a Dhamma question to my fellow nun and to my fellow practitioner. You think it's beneficial for you because you have doubt, right? So it's beneficial. But you talk in the living quarter there, where you take rest. That place is surrounded by so many other yogis and they are resting. But you think of, you want to get some beneficial from the talk and you disregard of other people's and you keep on talking, then it's called no clear comprehension of suitability. You do not talk at the right time. You can talk, but you have to bring your companion go out somewhere that no one can be disturbed by your conversation. Understand? is called clear comprehension of sustainability. So first thing of benefit, but only benefit but not suitable, then you should not do it. It must be beneficial and yet suitable. Right time. So as a practitioner, please bear in mind this too. Whatever you want to do, think of whether it's beneficial, even if it's beneficial, whether it's suitable now or not. If it's not suitable, then we should get rid of it. So all this beneficial and suitable should based on one's own benefit as well as other people's benefit. If we've done something which is not suitable, we disturb other people. Okay? Number third, clear comprehension of domain. Clear comprehension of domain means keeping your mindfulness always on your object of meditation, the subject of your meditation. If you are practicing Anapanasati, you keep your mindfulness on the breath all the time. This is called clear comprehension of domain. This clear comprehension of domain is very important to prevent the defilements, the greed, hatred, jealousy, competition, anger, irritation to enter into your mind. Why? Because the mind has, every mind has to take its own object. There's no an occasion the mind has no object. When the mind has no object, then the mind is at one wandering state. Right? So the moment your mind is not with the meditation object, either anapanasati or your body contemplation or the mental contemplation, then the mind is restless. When the mind is restless, then all the deformation comes very easily because the mind is not guarded by mindfulness. Therefore, to prevent all these defilements, the hindrances that creep in into your mind, you have to keep the mindfulness with one object of focus all the times. Otherwise, if you don't do it, then the mind is obsessed with deformance, then you end up suffering. Just like a monkey. Let me give you a simile. The monkey, the hunter of monkey, he want to hunt, to catch some monkey. Then he put some food, on the, let's say on the tree. Then with that food, he put some sticky glue together with the food. So the frequent smell attract the monkey. And those who are wise, those monkey who are wise, they know the trick of the hunter. So they will not approach that food. But a greedy monkey who is not a wise person, who has no clear comprehension of benefit or suitability, and no clear comprehension of domain, and approach that food. Approach that food and being attracted by the good smell of that food, then he stretch one hand, want to reach that food, but was stuck by the glue. And this stupid monkey don't know how to escape from the trap using another hand. You thought, I can push this one, I can take this one out using this hand and get two hands get caught. And don't know how to release himself, his feet also come, two feet also come. So four get caught. And yet this stupid monkey also using this nose. In order to release himself, he used his nose. Then finally, 5 points get caught. And the time hunter come and can play with the monkey. The monkey become the victim of the hunter. So why the monkey become the victim of the hunter? Of the hunter? Because he does not move in his own resort. He does not move in his own domain. What is his own domain? Forest. Forest is his own domain. He should not come out from the forest and go and approach some other things. Similarly, if a yogi move out from your own domain, then you will be, your fate will be like the monkey, being caught by all types of defilements. So what is the yogi's domain? What is the yogi's domain? The domain of monkey is his own forest. And as a yogi, what is the domain? My body, or in other words, four foundations of mindfulness. So your domain is four foundations of mindfulness. So long your mind does not stay with the body, feeling, mind and dhamma, this four foundation of mindfulness, then your mind will be caught by all types of defilements, just like a monkey. So please move in your own domain. Your domain is body, feeling, mind and dhamma. It's called clear comprehension of domain. Understand? Okay. The next one, clear comprehension of non-delusion. Clear comprehension of non-delusion refers to vipassana practice. Non-delusion means wisdom, right? So wisdom, what is the characteristic of wisdom? Wisdom penetrates into all phenomena as impermanent, suffering and non-self. In other words, your body, your feeling, your mind, your mental, dharma, mental object, as impermanent, suffering and non-self. So whatever sensation, bodily sensation arise in the whatever bodily sensation arise in the body, you contemplate it as impermanent, impermanent, suffering, suffering, non-self, non-self. And whatever feeling, pleasant or unpleasant, mental feeling that arise, you contemplate impermanent, impermanent, suffering, suffering, non-self. You choose either one. You can contemplate impermanent, impermanent for a long time, or you choose to contemplate non-self, non-self, non-self for a long time. You don't have to contemplate impermanent, suffering, non-self together. Not necessary. Choose one which you feel comfortable, which you feel effective for you. Until that object passes away. Then nothing to observe, then go back to the breath. If new phenomena comes, then keep on contemplating impermanent, impermanent, or non-self, non-self. This is called clear comprehension of non-delusion. So Buddha said, you must have this clear comprehension. So there are four. What are the four? Can you repeat? Clear, number one, clear comprehension of benefit. Second, clear comprehension of suitability. Number third, clear comprehension of domain. Domain means keeping one object with you all the time. Number four, clear comprehension of non-delusion. So this also shows that we practice samatha vipassana together, right? Otherwise, if you only practice samatha, you are lacking clear comprehension of non-delusion. Only wisdom leads to liberation, not samatha. Please remember this point. Okay, the next one, the third requisite you should possess is mindfulness. Because Buddha say, the bhikkhu lives contemplating the body in the body, feeling in the feeling, mind in the mind, dharma in the dharma, ardent. Ardent means atapi, continuous effort. Then clear, comprehending, number two. Third, and mindful. So, what's this mindfulness? Let us understand this mindfulness first before we can apply, right? So mindfulness comes from the word sarati, Pali words, come from the word sarati. Sarati means to remember. For example, Buddha Nusati, remembering the virtues of the Buddha. Anapana Sati, Tuk Sati. Sati means remember. So if I can remember my breath, then I practice Anapana Sati. Remember your object, remember the breath. So Sati means to remember. So your mind goes somewhere else and you do not know, you forget your breath. Then we say you have no mindfulness on your breath. So mindfulness means to remember. Buddha Nusati, Dhamma Nusati, remember the virtues of the Dhamma. Sangha Nusati, remember the virtues of the Sangha. Okay. So the first meaning of Sati is to remember. The second meaning is the upatthana, Pali word called upatthana. Upatthana means presence of the mind. The mind is present, opposed to absent-mindedness. We always say that you are not mindful, means you are absent-minded. So with present of the mind, when the mind is present at that moment, then you listen clearly, you can listen clearly, you can remember clearly, right? If, let's say, during the Dhamma talk, the mind is not present, and you are absent-minded. Then when I finish the Dhamma talk, somebody asks you, what is the talk about? You cannot remember, right? Why you cannot remember? Because you are absent-minded. Your mind is not, when I give talk, the mind is not present. So, sati also means present of mind. When the mind is present, then you can remember what you have said and done and listened. When you tell something, but your mind also not present. So after people tell you, why you speak like that to me? Then you blur. Am I speak that way to you? Because you are not, your mind is not present. You don't even know what you are talking about. Therefore, mindfulness means present of the mind. When the mind is present, then you will remember what you have heard or what you have said and done before. Even 10 years ago, what you have said and done 10 years ago, you still can remember. Why? Because at that time, you do it with present of the mind. You do it with clear mind, so that after 10 years, you still can remember. I remember one time, I met one devotee in Bodhihat. Then I told him that I have met you before. Then he said, no, sister, we never met before. I said, yes, 25 years ago. He was very shocked. How come 25 years ago you still can remember? He cannot remember. I can remember. I think it's easy for him to remember me, right? Because I have no hair. And only few nuns in Malaysia. But I have so many devotees. It's very difficult for me to remember each devotee, right? Comparative. But I can remember him. He cannot remember me. This shows that my sati is better than his. What I see, what I talk to somebody, I always remember. This is called sati. I don't do it with absent-minded. I do it with present of the mind so that I can remember. So all the talk I have talked, even 10 years ago, I still remember because I talk with presence of the mind, not absent-minded. Therefore, while listening to talk, also keep your mind present. Don't think of some other things. If not, after the talk, you don't know what I talk about. Don't know what I talk about. Okay. This part, mindfulness. Okay, then the quality of mindfulness, sati. Just now is the definition of mindfulness. Now let us talk about the quality of mindfulness, sati. Sati has quality of bare awareness. In order to recognize, we can recognize something with bare awareness, we know something. And second, so when you aware of something, this is the quality of sati, you're aware of something. And another quality is you aware with detached attitude. For example, you aware of unpleasant feeling that arise in the body. You're aware of it. If you don't aware, then you are absent-minded. You have no mindfulness, right? Even the body, there's some sensation that arise in your body you don't even know. This means that you have no mindfulness, no presence of the mind. So when you have the presence of the mind, you have that bare awareness. Why we add bare instead of awareness itself? Because sometimes when you're aware, also you react to it. When you're aware of unpleasant feeling, you also react with anger. And this is not bare awareness. This is called awareness with reaction, which is not correct during meditation practice. Right? Bare awareness means you know it without reaction. Therefore, you aware of it with detached mind. You don't bring in the self into that unpleasant feeling. Only then you can bear with it. Otherwise, when you're aware of that unpleasant feeling, but without detached mind, without detached attitude, then it was intuitively, you were while aware of that unpleasant feeling, you also feel that unpleasant feeling as myself. Then you cannot bear the unpleasant feeling. Therefore, to be able to bear or to be able to cope or to be able to apply bare awareness, you just aware it with detached attitude, understand that unpleasant feeling is not myself. It's called detached observation. This is a quality of sati. And another quality of sati is non-interfering. While observing the breath, the breath is not clear. Mindfulness just detached observation. You don't interfere, okay, the breath is not clear, I want to make it clear. And then there's no mindfulness already. Mindfulness has non-interfering to the phenomena. You accept whatever it is, as it is. For example, unpleasant feeling, pain arises in you. So you're aware of it. But after some time, you want to interfere. You want the pain to disappear, your mind. You want the pain to disappear. Or while observing the pain, your mind want it. You want the pain to go away quickly. This is called interfering already. Therefore, you should observe it without interfering. Accept whatever phenomena as it is, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. It's called quality of sati. Now similarly, when you are observing irritating mind, then you will note, you contemplate irritating mind as irritating mind. But at the same time, you also want that irritating mind to go away. Then it's called interfering. You interfere the phenomena. You want the phenomena to change. This self already, right? this atta self already. You are putting the self into the phenomena. Then of course you cannot achieve the Dhamma. Dhamma is non-self. So you have to observe whatever phenomena that appear with detached mind and without interfering to that phenomena. Let that phenomena comes and go by itself. Because Buddha say, Sabbe Sankara Anicca. No phenomena lasts long time. All phenomena will change. When you cannot see the phenomena change, because why? First, your mindfulness is not alert. Second, your wisdom is not sharp. Third, because your mind interfere to the phenomena. You may not know it. Intuitively, you want that phenomena to change because it's unpleasant. So inside, behind the mind, you have the thought, want the phenomena to change. Then your mind is not pure already. When the mind is not pure, then the wisdom is dark. Wisdom is not bright. Then you cannot see the phenomena as it really is. Understand or not? Okay, good. So let me repeat. The quality of sati, there are three. One is bare awareness. Second, we observe with detached mind or detached observation. Number third, non-interfering. Don't interfere the phenomena. When the breath is not clear, don't try to make it clear. Some people, when they practice anapanasati, they feel the pain, the chest is very painful. Why? Because they are controlling the breath. So whenever you feel painful in your chest, then you are interfering your breath because you are controlling the breath the way you want. You are not aware of the breath as it is. Instead, you are controlling your breath. This is called interfering the breath. Then, as a result, the chest congested, become very painful. Okay, then the last one, we have talked about definition of sati, the quality of sati, the last one, the practice of sati. The sati can be applied in either samatha or vipassana. Most people think sati is only for vipassana, which is not correct. Sati also can be applied in samatha. For example, anapanasati, right? Anapanasati, everybody think is only concentration. But without mindfulness, concentration cannot develop. Why? Let us explain to you. Anapanasati is breathing in and breathing out, right? Breathing in and breathing out. If you do not remember, if you do not aware of the breathing in and breathing out, your mind goes somewhere else. Then how are you going to deepen your concentration? Because there's no sati, therefore concentration is not developed. But if you have sati, mindfulness on your breathing in and breathing out, bare awareness, without interfering your breath, just aware of it, breathing in, breathing out, breathing all the time, your presence of the mind, you have the presence of the mind in reference to the breathing, without restless. Even there's restless, you know, then come back, right? Then with the strong mindfulness on the breath, then concentration develops. So this is a practice of sati. The sati can be applied with single object like breathing. Only with sati and effort, then concentration develops. What is this effort? Sati is always remember the breath. Present of the mind, always remember the breath. Then sometimes the mind goes somewhere else because the mind is not tame. It's wild like monkey. It won't listen to you. You want to be always with the breath. The mind won't listen to you. because the mind is not trained yet, not fully trained yet. So the mind will go somewhere else. And a person who has ardent or continuous effort will pull the mind. Immediately, he knows the mind wander off. Then Sati is very sharp. Sati is very sharp. Know the mind wander off. Not wait until 10 seconds. Not wait until 5 minutes. That's too long already. So the mindfulness very sharp. The mind wander off. It knows already. Then effort must know. Effort try to pull the wandering thought. Instead of wandering thought, now pull the mind back to the breath. This effort. A person who has no effort, when breathing in, breathing out, the mind wander off. Think of family, think of your spouse, and enjoy. Enjoy, pleasant, daydreaming. This is called a person who has no effort. So, with sati and effort, keep on pulling the mind, not only to the breath, and to the mind and body. If you practice four foundations of mindfulness, to the mental state, to different type of feeling, always keep the mind on the body and mind. This is called effort, continuous effort. With these two, you are bound to succeed in your meditation. Okay? And if anapanasati, you keep on pulling the mind back, then gradually, then the concentration develop. Because your mind is always stay with the breath, then concentration develop, then the light comes. Okay, so sati can be applied in single object like anapanasati or in selected object like 32 parts. And 32 parts, we also apply sati. Ketsa, loma, nakamlan, tatajo. Hit hair. So remember the hit hair. Body hair, remember the body hair. Nail, remember the nail. Teeth, skin. So mindfulness. Also have to remember head hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin. This is called selected object, few object, not single object. So without sati, nothing can be accomplished. When we come to practice, the first requisite you need is sati, mindfulness. Whether you are practicing samatha or vipassana, you need this mindfulness. Okay? And mindfulness also can be applied in insight meditation, especially contemplate on feeling and different mental state or body activity. Body activity means while you are stretching, your mindfulness knows. Stretching is wind element. When you are walking, the mindfulness know is wind element, then walk. When you are chewing, then you know it's wind element. When you are swallowing, also wind element. When the saliva comes, mindfulness know it is water element, and so on. This is called body activity. So without mindfulness, you don't know what's happening. After the food, you cannot even remember what you are eating, or what dishes you are eating. You don't even know that. But if you have mindfulness, know very clearly, every details. Okay? It's called body activity. And also, without mindfulness, you don't know the feeling, unpleasant feeling that arise in the body. You do not know. But with mindfulness, you know, this unpleasant feeling, then your mindfulness know. When the mind get irritated, then the mindfulness, when you have mindfulness know, the mind start to get irritated. And when the mind becomes sleepy, then the mindfulness know, very sharp. The moment the mind lose the object, the mindfulness know it is sleepiness. So the mindfulness can aware of that slow topper immediately. Okay, so mindfulness can also be applied in insight meditation. To be aware of different mental states. The mind affected by craving, by greed, the mind affected by aversion, the mind affected by sensual pleasures, the mind affected by restlessness, the mind affected by small and topple and so on. With mindfulness, you know everything that happened in your mind. Without mindfulness, you don't know what's happening in the mind. A person If a person does not know what's happening in the mind, this means what? Huh? Means what? Means this person is blur blur. It's always blur blur one. Then this person very difficult to succeed in the meditation. You don't even know what's happening in the mind. Then anger comes, you follow the anger. Greed comes, you follow the greed. Jealousy comes, you follow the jealousy. So a person has no clear comprehension, has no clarity in the mind. He will be committing akusala karma all the times. Not only blur. Blur is okay. Blur and not do unwholesome thing is okay. But blur and you don't know, anger comes also do not know. Greed, there's greed, or eating, there's greed also he does not know. Then he will accumulate a lot of unwholesome karma. That is dangerous. Blur is okay. Accumulating unwholesome karma is not okay for yourself. Okay? And also not okay for other people because you affect other people. Therefore, make your mindfulness alert and sharp during this retreat. Okay? Thank you so much.